Now, some of you might know that my plans for the month of August, I had planned to take a bunch of time off, but that my plans in August took something of a left turn for me. My plans changed a bit because my sister called me at the very beginning of the month to tell me that she was getting married. And that she wanted me to officiate the wedding ceremony and that she wanted to have it here. And that she wanted to make it happen in 4 weeks. And no, there's no shotgun involved. They were just very excited. And you can imagine the amount of challenges that arose because weddings are a load of work to pull together. You have to find the place and set the date and arrange for the reception, and you pull together the wedding party and you choose an invitation and you find a dress and you get fit for formal wear and you address and mail out the invitations and you register for gifts and people throw you showers and I'm already getting tired, but there's still centerpieces to pull together and flowers to arrange for, and then you design a ceremony. And if you've ever been a part of planning a wedding, you know precisely of which I speak. Now, for my sister, knowing that it was for me, she decided she was going to try and make things as simple as possible. And so a lot of things she decided they just didn't need to do. And she had decided that she was going to keep it small. But even in keeping it small, she still had to deal with the most difficult task of all, putting together the guest list. If you talk to anyone, or if you remember back to your wedding or marriage, you will remember that the guest list is the thing that takes the most thought, the most effort, and delivers the most conflict and anxiety. And she and Jason, her fiancé, now husband, decided that they would keep it small by making sure that it was just the immediate family and their closest of friends. So we had a original guest list that was right around 20, 21 people. And but of course, you know, and their plan was to have a big reception and party in January. But as the word leaked out, people, of course, threw a minor revolt and insisted that they wanted to be there. And people saying, I'm willing to pay for my own dinner to be there. And the guest list slowly began to grow. It started at 20, went then to about 38, then to 46, and then 61, and finally on the day of the wedding, we had 72 people come. And when it was over, Francine and Jason felt blessed because all their friends so wanted to be present at their wedding and to share in their very special day. But what if you planned a wedding and nobody came? In today's gospel reading, Jesus tells a story about a wedding. And like my sister's wedding, the conflict in the story revolves around the guest list. However, unlike my sister's wedding, the guest list shrinks because the guests have decided not to respond to the invitation. Now, in the parable that Jesus tells, he sets it according to the social protocols of the first century Palestinian elite. Because the king's son, the prince, is getting married. And of course, this wedding is supposed to be a great event. A huge event. So the guest list is comprised not necessarily around those who are close and chummy with the royal family, although I'm sure they were included, but the guest list revolves around the sort of important people that would make such an event a must-be-there event. And certainly the invitation went out to kings and queens and ambassadors and priests and ministers of trade and regional leaders and wealthy merchants. You get the idea. It's a big deal. And these are important people. And so it's to these important people that the first initial invite goes out. And it's kind of like those postcards that people send out that say, save the date. And they get sent out usually, you know, somewhere like 9, 10, 6 months ahead of time. It goes out to all those important people. And then it's several months later that the king's servants are sent out to go and follow up to the save the date and to get the RSVPs from the invited guests. And imagine the servant's surprise when the invited elite provided a series of flimsy excuses and snub the invite. And the second time around, some of the guests end up mistreating the servants, and some of them end up killing the servants. And boy, can you imagine the scandal? Can you imagine the scandal? And of course, the king will not be treated scandalously. And in his fury, he repays those who have mistreated his servants. And then comes to the key part of the parable. The king then tells his servants to go out into the streets to anyone they can find, both the good and the bad, and invite them to come to the wedding. He tells them, go and take the wedding cloaks and give them to anyone who will come. And the reason why he does this is, I'm going to quote straight out of Scripture, those I invited did not deserve to come. And you see, for the king in Jesus' story, the wedding is the most important thing. It has to take place. All the preparations have been done. It is ready to go, and it must take place. Yet those that he has invited first do not seem to share his passion and enthusiasm for this wedding. In fact, by their non-response and the persecution of his servants, those who were first invited show precisely what they think of the king and of his son and of this wedding banquet. And yet the king is scandalous in who he finally does invite. You see, the guests were made of nobody of earthly significance. It was made up of both the good and the bad. It was made up of anybody his servants would find, could find, that would come. Now, just recently, we had the good fortune of seeing a wedding of similar stature to the one in the parable. And I'm looking for hands here. How many of you watched the royal wedding of Prince William and Kate Middleton? I'm looking for hands. All right, we've got quite a few hands that went up. That's right. In the last year, without a doubt, it truly was the event that was a must-be-there event. And after all, in addition to those of you who raised your hand, in addition to the invited guests, millions lined up outside, watched on television, or called it up on YouTube to watch the ceremony. Of course, you know, here on the screen, you can see my invitation to the wedding. I couldn't go because I had a church council meeting. But William and the Queen understood. Of course, I wasn't invited. That's the magic of the computer. But seriously, if you had been invited, would you have gone? Would you have said no? Of course you would have gone. Of course you wouldn't have turned it down. If you could have afforded to be there, you would have been there because it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see the next king of England marry his queen. And few things could be more important if you were English. or if you were invited. See, it's a privilege. It's an honor. It's a grace to be present at such a ceremony and such a gathering. So here's the deal with the parable. Jesus comes right out at the very beginning and tells those who are gathered that the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. And point blank, what he's saying is that the parable is about the invitation to be a part of the kingdom of God. And the Old Testament often used the metaphor of a wedding to represent the relationship between God and Israel, where God is the groom and Israel is the bride. And the prophets used the metaphor of a banquet to represent the covenant between God and Israel. And in Hebrew literature around this time, the banquet metaphor also represented God's reign and the fellowship that we will share after the great judgment and when all history is put underneath God's rule. In other words, it's a banquet that you want to be at. Now, one's worthiness to be present occurs when one recognizes the king's invitation for what it is. And not only recognizes it, but responds to it as your top priority. You see, the key to getting in doesn't revolve around if you are good or bad, because both are invited. What matters most is recognizing the urgency and the importance of the invitation and to respond affirmatively to it. Because remember, many are invited, but few are chosen. And I think that God chooses those who decide to show up. That God chooses, invites everyone and chooses those who decide to come. Make no mistake, what we do here on Sunday mornings, this is real. This isn't a joke. And it's not about seeing our friends, and it's not about hearing some good music or receiving some good advice about how to live our lives and be better people. We're here because God has issued an invitation to come to a wedding banquet, the wedding banquet of his son, Jesus Christ. And we do what we do because we feel it is the most important invitation that we have ever received. You see, this is all practice for when we will all gather at the banquet table. Now, Jesus ends his parable with a scene that seems straight out of Wedding Crashers. A guest is found at a table without a wedding garment. And the wedding garment was a special cloak that was given to the guests who say they're going to come. And it would mark the ones who had responded to the invitation and who were there and who were welcomed in. And I don't know precisely what all that was about, but Jesus' message by including this is important. You see, taking that garment and putting it on signifies you as an invited guest. And it's important that you don't take it off. And I know that most of you wear that garment. And most of you have seized that invitation and have made it your top priority. And the truth is that most of us are the servants in the parable, the ones that the king sends out to invite others to come in. But some are new. Some have just found our place at the table. And maybe someone here has received the invitation and is wondering what to do with it. And if that's you today, I want you to think about this. And I hope that you would make a decision today, an RSVP, that you want to be at that wedding banquet. And I'm not going to make anybody stand up today or come forward or raise your hand or anything like that. But if your heart is urging you to respond for the first time, all it takes is a simple, yes, Jesus, I want to be a part of your kingdom, and I will come to your wedding banquet. I will be there, Jesus. And I hope that you hear me when I say that all are invited. All are invited. The invitation goes out to everyone. And God is looking for those who will come. May this be a day that we approach the throne of grace. May this be a day when we both say yes once again to that invitation. May this be a day where, if we have not, that it is the first time that we say, I will come. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, as we consider these words, as we consider your invitation, Lord, we take them to heart. And I pray that we all will make it our top priority. And I pray this in your name. Amen.